something about music that kind of ties us in, that connects with our heart in a certain way. If we can we throw the words to the song up that we were singing, Praise the Lord? That one. Praise the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. And we sing those same words again. And then we sing those same words again. And then, what are the next words in that song? The next ones are that, praise the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. Again and again. And you can either sit there and just sing the same words over and over again. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Or every once in a while, the Spirit kind of takes hold of you as you sing those same words again and again, and you start to realize that even though you're gathered in a space of worship and you've come to praise the Lord, you're not necessarily praising the Lord. You might just be singing. Right? Happens to all of us, I think, that we come into a space and we've come to worship, we've come to praise the Lord, and somewhere in the middle of doing that, we realize we're not really doing that. And sometimes we have to say again and again, almost letting the words wash over us of what we're doing. And I don't know what worship and praise is like for you. I tend to think worship and praise is a little bit different for each of us. But for me, when I really come into a place of worship, the thing that's going through my head is not necessarily the words that we're saying or the words that we're singing. For me, the thing that starts rolling through is all the ways in which God has been with me. All the ways in which God has walked with me. All the places we have been together. All the things we have seen. All the blessings in my life. And I don't know about you, but when you find yourself in this place, we have a room that accommodates all of us, where we can come and sit and think and pray and sing and study and grow and learn. And we can do all of these things together. We've come to this place. It's warm. It's not as warm outside. It's warm in here. Everybody has what we need, right? Which does not mean we all have what we want, right? But everybody we have what we need. God has provided for what we need. We find ourselves sitting in a space of enough. I have enough. In this moment, in this space, in this time, I don't have to chase after anything else. I don't have to be thinking about the next thing. In this space, in this time, I have enough. Which to me begs the question, why? Why do I have enough? Why do I find myself in a space where I have everything that I need? And there's lots of ways that people answer that question. Lots and lots of ways. Some people answer that question because they've done enough things right. Well, I've done these things right. Maybe, yeah, there's certainly some ways in which decisions we make are going to have an effect on, yeah, that's maybe part of it. Is that all of it? And then maybe other people say, I don't know, it's just kind of good to have everything that I need. Well, yeah. Is there maybe things that we don't see? Things that are unseen and maybe even reasons we don't fully understand why God has brought us to this place at this time with these people and provided for everything that we need. And put us in a space where we have enough. Where we have enough. And if you don't have enough in some area, you are surrounded by brothers and sisters who will make sure that you do. If you are ever in a spot where you go, I have no idea where supper's coming from tonight. You look around the room. You are surrounded by people who will make sure there is food on your table. If you're ever in a spot where you say, I have no idea how to face this challenge that's in front of me. You are surrounded by people who may not know how to face that challenge either, but will face it with you. Will stand there side by side with you with whatever you come up against. You find yourself today in a space of enough. You have everything you need. And I think we have to ask the question, God, why? Why do you bless us so abundantly? Why do you give us everything? Why do you watch out for us so? Why all of this? All of this space, all of this freedom, all of this compassion, all of this love, all of this. Why for me? Why here? Why now? I think it's a pretty big question. And on the first Sunday post-Easter, we're going to read about resurrection again. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the resurrection story. This is the story of Christ rising from the dead, living, moving among us, still working, still calling, still challenging. This is the story of our Savior, our Messiah, announcing a whole new beginning. Death no longer gets the last word. There is no longer any authority you can face or come up against that has anything on you. Death itself has been conquered. This life, the life to come. Jesus is the one who has all authority. And the message is one of grace and hope and promise. An invitation, if you will, to step out of an old life that's burdened with all sorts of pain and distraction and worry and fear, and instead to step into a new life, a life that is filled with enough. A life that is not rooted in what you don't have, but instead is settled in what you do have. A life that recognizes that the God of all creation, who made you and who sustains you is with you and loves you and has tremendous plans for you. And that is the way it has always been. This loving God of creation who is putting things back together again and inviting regular, average, ordinary people like you and like me to be a part of whatever it is God's doing. This story of resurrection is world-changing. This story of resurrection is one of commissioning. It's one of purpose. It's one of promise. This new life that Jesus announces, He doesn't just show up, rise from the dead, and appear to His friends and say, "See, I told you so. Now I'm going to heaven. I'll catch you later." Does He? He doesn't say, "I was trying to tell you I was stronger than death forever and you never saw it. Now you see it. End of thing." Right? No, how does this story end? It ends with this amazing commissioning that says, there is nothing you can come up against that I have not conquered. There is nothing you can face that I have not met. So everything that wants to own you, every fear that resides within you, everything that creates anxiety and makes you unsure, Jesus has already defeated it and is promising a new life that is centered around enough. And now, disciples, now that you know you have enough, I want you to go and bless. That's really the commissioning. I want you to go and bless. I want you to go proclaim forgiveness. Now, it's forgiveness that is partnered with this new life. It's not just it's not a superficial thing. He actually commissions them to go and proclaim transformation for anybody who wants to take hold of it. To go and proclaim brand new life, a brand new beginning, centered in this understanding of enough. Centered in this understanding of grace, that you are held, that you are loved, and that you are called. When these disciples discover that Jesus has risen from the dead, that He is who He said He was, that He has done what He said He will do, and that He is the one who can be trusted, they are not just told this so that they can know how lucky they are, that they're on the inside track, that they got to meet the one and they're the favorites. No. Instead, they get to find out that they are the first of many who are privileged to proclaim that there is hope and there is promise. And it is not rooted in all the things of this world that generate fear and anxiety. It is not rooted in dominance or power. It is not rooted in abuse or manipulation. It is rooted squarely in grace and promise, and the truth that you are already loved. No matter where you're at in your life or what you have done, you are loved and embraced. And now you are challenged to live from that place. See, when I hear this story of God, I get all worked up. Because the promise of God is full, and yet not everybody knows the promise. A lot of people have heard all sorts of mixed up things. We have people who are actually Christian and yet haven't really known what this promise of hope and grace and love are. We have tons of brothers and sisters who are still riddled with anxiety and with fear and with doubt and with worry and with all this stuff that life weighs us down. And this notion of new life is like, what's that all about? This notion of a new beginning, I have no idea what that would be. And yet that's the promise that Jesus holds out. We have people who have never heard this promise and who think that this Jesus thing is about something else entirely. They have it all mixed up with an idea that somehow Jesus is about hate, that somehow Jesus is about just doing these right things the right way, that somehow Jesus is about hanging out with these right people, that somehow Jesus is about all this other stuff that is not the message that Jesus brought. And so I have this vision in my head whenever I read this story of resurrection, that God isn't finished with us yet. And that somehow just beneath the surface, all around us, all the time, even when things seem like they're getting worse, even when it seems like things are falling apart, even when it seems like things are not headed in the right direction, that the God of all creation, who was and is and always will be, is still at work and isn't done with us yet, and that there's a movement right underneath the surface that is just waiting to burst forth and proclaim new life, proclaim enough, and then embody it. To be a people who don't just say superficial words, but who live into this new reality, because we know the one who has saved us. We know the one who loves us. This Jesus who moves and breathes and is among us all the time. But every once in a while, we need to gather and say, "Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, praise the Lord." Again, praise the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. And again, praise the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. I find myself caught up with all this other stuff, and I forgot, I'm here to worship, I'm made to worship, I'm made to proclaim, and yet I'm preoccupied with all this other stuff. Praise the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. Okay, I got confused, I remembered, I know I'm saved and I'm loved, but I kind of got all tied up with this other stuff. Praise the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. I kind of have to shake out all this other stuff and remember the God who loves me, sustains me, has saved me, and is with me. Praise the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. If it's true, and if God is at work in us, around us, beneath us, all the time, if this great resurrection power is doing something right beneath the surface, and it's not up to us to do it, right? Was it up to us to raise Jesus from the dead? No. This resurrection power is of God. But if God is doing something right underneath the surface, and if God is today doing what God was doing then, inviting average, ordinary people like you and me to be a part of what it is that God is doing, then we might just need to look, to have eyes to see, ears to hear. God, what are you doing around us today? God, where are you moving? Praise the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. I'm remembering what you have done in me and through me and with me. I'm remembering how much you love me. And now, O God, what are you up to that I don't see? Where are you moving that I have not known? What are you doing around me all the time? Have you poured into me enough just so that I can have what I want because of how special I am? Or have you poured into me enough because you have purpose yet for me? Because you have calling yet for me. Because you are not finished with me and with you and with all of us. And if God isn't finished with all of us and has purpose and plan for all of us, then might it be possible that there's a reason why you and me got up this morning and chose to drive to this place, in this town, at this time, to gather here? We all come from different places. We come from different cultures. We come from different upbringing, from different background. We are at different places in our lives. Different stages, different times, different things going on. And yet, God has welcomed us all into this space. And as you look around the room, there isn't a person here who wouldn't sacrifice for your need, who wouldn't lay down to be with you, to support you. There's not a person here that wouldn't come alongside of you. That's a special thing. We take it for granted. That's a special thing. You are surrounded by love. God has surrounded you with love. And we're challenged to answer the question, why? 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 My suspicion is this. Most of us spend the better part of our lives not knowing that. And the second we think we've got it all figured out, we can pretty much bet we fell a little short. Because it's been my experience that God is always up to something bigger and better and greater than what we can see. That God is always doing something underneath the surface. But every once in a while, have you ever had a time when you feel like you were able to participate with whatever God was doing? That you had a moment where something just happened, and in that time, in that space, you and God were partners? You and God did something together? I went on this mission trip with my dad years ago, and we went down to Mexico to put a PA, a public address system, in an orphanage, because it was this big place. They've got 120 kids there, and they didn't have any way to communicate across their campus. And so we put a little bit of money together, and my dad and I went down to put this PA system in, and everything went wrong. None of the stuff we ordered showed up. None of the wiring was even there. Nothing, everything we were told, everything was coming. But so we show up and we don't have what we need. So my dad and I are like, okay, well, we'll go and drill holes and we'll get everything prepped and ready to go. So we spend the first day and we do all this prepping and we go to bed. And the next day we get up and there's still no stuff. And we call the suppliers. They say, yeah, it'll be there tomorrow. Okay, so we spend the next day just kind of playing with the kids and hanging out and talking with people. And it was a nice day. But we came to do a job. And at the end of that day, still no stuff. We get up the next day, hasn't come. We finally find out it's not going to come in the time when we were there. And so we cross from Juarez back into El Paso, and we think, we'll go and look around and see what we can find, and see if we can get all the stuff that we need for this system. And this isn't like, you don't go to Walmart or Radio Shack to get it. Like, this is kind of specialized stuff. And so we go around and we're looking, we can't find. We end up calling this Ace Fire Supply. And it just turns out that they had just taken a PA system out of a school and they would give us all of the speakers that they took out. Cool. Then we go to this other place. They have all the wiring we need. We go to this other place. They have the outdoor speakers, and when they find out what purpose we have for them, they give them to us. Brand new. Now we're down to, we need a power amp, and we cannot find one in the entire town. And finally, we call a supplier that's located about 150 miles north of us, and he has one. And we said, well, how fast can you get it to us? Well, it's going to take 3 days. So we got to be gone in 3 days. So we're talking about renting a car and driving up to go get it. And this guy says, I tell you what, my brother's out of work. I will give him this amp and stick him on a bus and drive and send him down to you. If when he gets to you, you'll give him $100 for his time. Done. Sure enough, at about 12:30 that night, that bus rolled into town and we had all the parts that we need. We went back across and we installed this whole sound system. Now you may think, it's a sound system. Who really cares? We put that sound system in, and the first thing we put on was Spanish-speaking worship music. And the workers of this home wept and gathered together with us in their common space and sang and moved and worshiped and gave thanks. And my dad and I do not speak Spanish, but we knew exactly what was happening. And we both found ourselves caught up in this moment. Now, was that something that we did? No. No, it was something that we just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And we got to partner with something God was doing. Had nothing to do with sound equipment. Nothing at all. But we had an opportunity to get caught up in whatever God was doing, because God was already doing something under the surface. And we just had this opportunity to step into it and to partner. And in reality, there's not really a feeling like that. And it's not something we can create. It's not, trust me, if you could, you'd do it every day. I mean, it's just, there's something amazing about that. But my belief is this. God is always doing things like that around us all the time. God is always doing something under the surface, always working at something. And He's invited us to be a part of it. He is placed you at this time in your life in a space where you have enough You are free to respond to the grace God is pouring into your life. And you don't know how to respond yet. And I don't know how to respond yet. But He is inviting us to be ready and willing to share with others the love God has poured into us. To be conduits of grace. To be engaged with the mission of hope and promise that's active in the world. When I think resurrection, I think of the church in motion. When I think of resurrection, I think of new life and the promise that God has done great things and God is not finished with us yet. Let me just say a word of prayer and then we're going to kind of close, but we got a little bit more to do yet this morning. Gracious God, we thank You and praise You for the love You have poured out upon us, for grace and hope and new life. We thank You, God, that You have provided for us everything that we need. And we come before You today, God, and we confess that so often we take that kind of love for granted. We get kind of consumed. We get kind of distracted. We need to proclaim to ourselves, to remind ourselves, to praise You. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. To remember who You are, what You have done, and indeed, God, what You are still doing. So I ask today, God, that You would speak to each and every one of us. That You would guide our hearts, that You would direct our thoughts. That You would draw us close to Yourself and remind us that You are at work in us and through us and all around us all the time. Help us, O God, to not only receive the grace You pour out, but respond to it. In Thy name we pray. Amen. I think we're going to stay here, right?